Russian!
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, that's hay fever. I get it every time I come down to the country. Sorry, I'm Jim Kelly.
Jackie O'Shea, how are you?
Not too bad, Jackie. So it's just at the end of this road and then the next left, yeah?
No. If you're going to Ned's house, then you better turn right and head back to the hills.
You sure?
Sure. Yes, I've been here all my life.
Hello, and welcome to the Anglophiles podcast, a podcast where two Americans talk about British TV and movies. I'm Danny.
I'm Sheldon.
And today is a very special episode because today is our St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Yay!
Hooray! It's St. Patrick's Day!
It is.
Is this a holiday that you were a fan of or something that you celebrated a lot?
It was always a holiday I wasn't sure if I was really allowed to. Like, I felt weird about celebrating it.
Gotcha.
And then, especially because I had one friend in my school who would always wear orange, which is for, like, Republic of Ireland? Is that right? I don't know. It was always a thing where I was like, this seems like it's more trouble than it's worth, so I'm just gonna not bother. I never liked getting pinched, and, like, I don't like any holiday that comes with pain. Like, that, those two things to me, I'm like, I'm not a fan
gotcha.
Of that. So what, yeah, what about you?
Oh, I've always loved St. Patrick's Day. Our family, we've always been, on my dad's side, very Irish. So at my grandparents' house, there was always a stone called the Blarney Stone.
Okay.
And my grandfather always had a shillelagh. Do you know what that is?
It's like a staff of some sort.
It's a walking stick.
Yeah.
But it's made of blackthorn.
Ooh, okay.
Which is supposedly, like, good luck. It's like a good luck. It wards off evil spirits.
Cool.
So we've always had some fun traditions. And then on St. Patrick's Day growing up, my mom would always put green food coloring in my milk or in my cream of wheat. And so my breakfast would be green.
I was about to ask if, like, you celebrated with any food. So it would be, like, a green dye and
foods. Yeah, we would make, my mom would make green food for us. But then we'd also sometimes do, like, corned beef and potatoes.
I do love corned beef.
Corned beef is delicious.
Corned beef is so good.
But it is really interesting, like,
also, though, I don't know what it is. Now that I think about it,
I believe it's just beef that's been salt cured.
Okay. Why is it corn?
It's not corn. It's corned.
But what does that mean?
I don't know, but it's just salted beef. It's just... Anyway.
It's beef that's been rubbed on corn, isn't it?
I'm going to fire you from this podcast.
Okay. I think I've solved a weird mystery of the food industry.
No, it's just really interesting growing up in America with a family that has Irish roots being like, oh, we're Irish. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Here's all our fun traditions. Wear green or somebody will pinch you and, like, you know, leprechauns and gold. Like, it's just, it's all very cheesy. And the older that I've gotten, the more research that I've done into Ireland and Ireland's history and in our family's roots. So I've learned a lot about Ireland. I still don't know anything.
Well, do you know anything about the holiday? Like, what can you tell me about St. Patrick's Day?
All I know is that St. Patrick, I don't think he's actually canonized by the Catholic Church.
Okay.
But he is a Catholic saint, I guess, unofficially, who is said to have driven the snakes out of Ireland. And
okay,
England.
I have heard that.
But I've also heard in recent years that saying actually means that St. Patrick got rid of all the pagans in the area. That
they were the snakes.
By snakes, they meant pagans. And the older I get, the more I read about pagan religion. I really, really like reading up on it and the history of it. And it's kind of sad to think that, like, the Catholic Church kind of came in and was like, oh, hey, all of you guys, we're getting rid of you.
Yeah. We're afraid of that, which is different as people.
Really, But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
We also have today. We have something else here, like talking about traditions and celebrating. We have something with us. I know we might be jumping ahead to a snack break, the earliest in an episode ever.
Well, I was going to say, this episode is definitely going to be different from our normal episode. We're not going to have all of our segments and email.
It's going to be a quick one.
Yeah. We're just going to kind of talk about...
it's bonus content.
What we're talking about. Yeah, it is bonus content. But we did get something, and that is Guinness beer.
Yes.
So we both have a frosty mug of Guinness beer in front of us.
Both poured perfectly.
Well, you're better at pouring beer than I am.
So, what do you drink? I know that you do like beer, but do you prefer, like, a stout like this?
Love beer. When I was younger, I didn't like beer, but when I moved to Los Angeles years ago, I got into German beers, and then I never tried Guinness again, because the first time I ever had Guinness was when I lived in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. There was this amazing pub in Tulsa called Kilkenny's Irish Pub, and it is more authentic than some of the Irish pubs that I went to in New York City. It's great. Kilkenny's is such a landmark there. And I've had my birthday at Kilkenny's like 5 times, because I love that place. Anyway, Guinness flowed freely at Kilkenny's Irish Pub. They had a lot of really cool vintage Guinness beer advertisements hanging up on the wall with the toucan on it and all the different animals that are like, drink Guinness, which I'm sure were kind of supposed to be like a way to get kids into like familiar with the brand.
Probably.
So by the time they're adults, they want to drink Guinness. But I always thought Guinness was too bitter, too bold. I never liked it. Sometimes at Kilkenny's, I would get a snake bite, which is Guinness and cider.
Okay, yeah.
And that's really good. It kind of sweetens it up a little bit. But I was never a fan of Guinness. I'm much older now, so I'm really excited to taste it.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, see, I don't have nearly the same experience. I grew up in Missouri, and for the people who don't know, especially the people who live in the UK, Missouri is the home of Budweiser. That is where the beer plants are located. That is, like, we drink Budweiser like everyone else drinks water. Yeah. Mainly because, like, it is water. It's not a good-tasting beer. You don't drink it because it tastes good. You drink it because it gets you drunk fast.
Well.
And you can drink it easily. So, not a huge fan of Budweiser. And the first time I ever tried, like, actual beer, like, it knocked me on my ass. Because I was like, oh, this is thick. Like, this is a full meal, this Guinness.
I also want everyone listening to this to know that right now, Sheldon is wearing the most adorable Irish cap. It's like a herringbone, kind of a tweed. It's actually from Ireland. It was my grandfather's.
I feel like a Peaky Blinder.
It does look like a Peaky Blinder's hat.
But let's dig in. Let's
try the Guinness. And now,
what do we say?
I have definitely heard that Guinness is better
from the tap.
As opposed to a bottle, but.
But right now,
coronavirus is happening right now.
I haven't left the house in 3 days.
We can't leave the house. I managed to get a 6-pack of Guinness from the grocery store. I fought my way through the grocery store to get this. But so you say slancha.
Slancha.
Which means cheers. I think it actually means to your health, but I'm not sure. Here we go.
That's also what cheers means, though, right?
Mm.
Like cheers to your health. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it is thick for sure.
I think I was definitely, the first couple times I had it, I think I was too young and my taste buds were not down for this, but this tastes really good. I think I could drink a whole one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I know right now, especially, you haven't had a lot of beer recently, and so you've been kind of just taking it easy.
My doctor told me to stay away from yeast. Unfortunately,
that's bread and beer, delicious things.
all the most delicious foods.
I think this is a good hearty beer.
Yeah.
Like there are definitely a lot of times where if you're having like a light meal, you're going to be on the beach, you want like a light, airy beer. There are times where like you just want to drink a full hearty beer and that's it. You don't want any food or anything else to ruin the flavor. This is a beer that you're having for the flavor, for the experience. I like Guinness a lot. I mean, I like a lot of stouts, but I think it's rare. I can't have them all the time. I could not do this every single night.
No, it is pretty heavy. It's quite good, though. Do you want to talk about our topic for today?
I would love to.
We decided to watch an Irish movie.
Based on many, many people requesting this.
Yeah, well, we asked on our Facebook any recommendations for an Irish movie we could watch for St. Patrick's Day. And we got a lot of great suggestions. Actually, a lot of people suggested Father Ted.
Which is getting added to the to watch list.
Which is an Irish show.
Yeah.
We didn't have time, so we decided to watch a movie. There are some really good Irish movies. I love The Wind That Shakes the Barley with Cillian Murphy. But it is very sad, and I didn't really want to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a sad movie. Sing Street
is one of your all-time favorites.
It came out a couple years ago. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
That was a great date night we had.
That's
watching
an Irish
Sing Street
movie. Oh, I love it. It's so good. But it is very, very modern, and I thought it might be good to do something a little bit older.
So we went with something that's about 22 years older. A movie called Waking Ned Devine.
Which I have heard of my entire life, but I had never seen it. And when we put it on and started watching it,
we were not prepared.
It is so good.
Like, this was literally laugh out loud funny. There are a lot of movies nowadays where I chuckle at, where I'm like, oh, those are good jokes, that's well written, or it's well performed. This got me to, like, belly laugh.
I was laughing a lot.
I came into this blind, not knowing what to expect. You made it sound like it was going to be some sort of a lottery situation with a Weekend at Bernie's element. And, I mean, you told me straight up this isn't what it is, but it kind of, that's where my brain went immediately. I thought, okay, a fun Weekend at Bernie's romp, but was not expecting this heartfelt, sweet, naked old man movie.
It is very sweet. And there is a naked old man.
Well, there are two, kind of.
For anyone that hasn't seen it, I guess the basic premise. First of all, what year did it come out?
1998.
98, okay. Basic premise is in a small town in Ireland, a man has won the lottery. His neighbors find out he is dead.
He dies of shock.
He dies of shock the moment he finds out he won the lottery. So when they discover this, they decide to pretend that he's alive and pass someone else off in the village as him and collect all of his winnings. But they all have to be in on it. So the movie is basically them trying to put on this charade of, Ned Devine is not dead. No, he is alive.
He's alive. He's here.
Give us the money.
And so, it's a lot of money, too.
I feel like there are a couple of movies like this that, like, as I was watching it, there's a movie with Brendan Gleeson where this town, small town in I think Ireland, wants to hire a doctor, but this fancy doctor will only come live in their town if it has a certain number of people. And so they basically have to put on a bunch of, like, charades to make
pretend
it seem
to be all
like
the different
they have
people.
More people. Like, they all go into the bar and they wave at him when he walks in. And then he goes, all right, let's go check out the church. And they all run out the back door.
That sounds so familiar.
It's a really, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a really, really funny movie.
That sounds fun.
But it reminded me of this, where it's like kind of a town banding together. This obviously came first. But Local Hero is kind of that way as well. Where in Local Hero, they're trying to make it seem like they don't want to sell their town because they don't want it to be turned into an oil refinery, but really they want it to be sold.
They want the money.
So yeah, it's an interesting that this premise kind of can keep going throughout various films.
Yeah, because, well, I think at the end of the day, money is something that anybody can understand. Like, as an audience, we get, like, a lot of money would change all of our lives.
Yeah.
Like, and we could all just sit and think, like, what would I do with $100,000 right now?
Mm-hmm.
And instantly your mind just goes like, oh, I know the different things I could do with it. And you look at these characters on screen, you can so easily identify with them. Like, money is an easy thing for us to want. But then I think the movie works because all the characters are so good.
It's true.
And because you want it to work for them, even though this is a highly illegal thing.
Oh, it's fraud.
It's fraud, and they make a big point of it.
Yeah. They do really talk about, and I'm glad they talked about it too, because I wasn't expecting it to, but they really do talk about how dangerous it is, it's risky, you could go to prison, it's fraud, but they kind of, you know, delved into it.
I have a question.
Yes.
Or a theory.
Yes.
Do you think we're more okay with it because the people coming up with it are elderly?
I think so.
Do you think if they were like young men, it would seem more like a, this is a heist. We're stealing this
money.
Maybe,
yeah. But some for the all of the characters in this movie are charming old people, and they are so delightful.
They are.
That you're just like, I want you to have whatever you want.
Well, let's talk about them. So the main character is Jackie O'Shea.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife is Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're played by Ian Bannon and, I can't do it, Fionnuala Flanagan?
I don't
know.
Fionnuala? I don't know how to...
I don't know how to say her name, but I know her as one of the big bads from my favorite show, Lost, where she plays Eloise.
Wow.
Which is incredible. She is so spooky and creepy and evil and rich on that show.
Well, she was sweet in this.
I know. It was weird. She's a phenomenal actress.
Yeah.
And then the person that I think steals the show, the entire movie, is David Kelly as Michael O'Sullivan.
Oh my gosh, Michael is so sweet. I love him.
And he's so tiny and thin and gangly.
He's a gangly, and you see him pretty much all the way naked.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah, you see his bum and
a
little...
Can we talk about how at the beginning of the movie, the opening of the movie, is Jackie and Annie at home, and they're watching the lottery on TV?
Or, well, Jackie is watching
it. No. Rewind to the very opening of the movie. It is very Hitchhiker's Guide, and that it's, like, starting out kind of, like... in space, like in the sky, in the stars.
Yeah,
and then it kind of like comes over to Earth, and then it's like narrating about Earth and the way that people are in this very like, it kind of gave me a little vibe of like Hitchhiker's Guide,
yeah,
which was really
very
cool.
Dry.
But then it's to Jackie and Annie in their home, and Jackie's watching the lottery, and then he's like, ooh, Annie, he's like, bring in my apple tart. And she's like,
fetch it yourself.
She goes, get it yourself. And he's like, okay, and so, like, as the lottery's happening, he's, like, looking at his ticket, and he's, like, saying that all the numbers are lining up, and she's, like, every number he says that it is the same one, she's, like, oh, and
she slowly gets excited.
She, like, gets his apple tart, and she walks in, and then, like, when they say the last number, he goes, yeah, and then he rips up his ticket, and she's, like, what did you do that for? And he's, like, well, we didn't win, but it got me my apple tart.
Yep.
He did that whole thing just so that he wouldn't have to get up and walk, and it's kind of, like... It's kind of like symbolic of the movie, you know?
Yeah, it shows, like, you what he's willing to do to get the thing he wants.
I will trick someone in order to get what I want. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah. So he immediately goes a sleuthing. He knows, all right, somebody in this village won because the number is so close to mine.
That is a great portion of this movie.
Is the hunt. Them trying to figure it out.
The three of them trying to figure out who in the town won. They know it's somebody in their town, but they don't know who. And so they all start going around and
just
narrowing.
Meeting with people.
They're like narrowing it down, being extra nice and friendly to people.
They've got theories.
Giving people fruity soaps.
Oh my god, the fruity soaps plotline.
It's so good.
Is incredible. It came out of nowhere. I was hoping it would come back, but it didn't really. Like, it was in the first 10 minutes, and then they're like, all right, we're good. You
they
guys get it. That was funny.
That it's, what's his name? James Nesbitt?
Yeah, the pig man.
They think that it is James Nesbitt won, and so they're being super nice to him. They're buying him beer. They give him some fruity soaps.
Yeah. That they're, it's going to help him get with Maggie.
Yeah.
Or so they think.
Yeah. Well, I thought they were just trying to be nice.
Well, like, I think that too.
Here's some fruity soap.
But I think they know. It's a town this small. They know who's flirting with.
Maybe he also smells like...
He does smell like
the pig farm
shit.
But yeah, I love that portion. And then they decide to invite everyone that they think won the lottery to their house for a chicken dinner.
I thought they invited everyone.
I think it was just some
town.
People.
Oh, okay.
But it was a lot of people. They invited like 40 people? Maybe that is everyone.
I was going to say, that's pretty much everyone.
They invited most of the town over for a chicken dinner. They're being super nice to them, and they're trying to figure out who won the lottery. It's just a really, really funny portion.
But Danny, one dinner didn't get eaten.
Was Ned Devine? He didn't show up.
It was Ned Devine.
So
he goes over in the dead of the night.
Jackie decides to take the chicken dinner over to him in the rain, and that's when he discovers Ned Devine is at home and he is dead.
Like clutching the ticket in his little hands, eyes
on.
Wide in shock, smiling.
He's dead.
Ugh.
But yeah.
What a way to go. Like, I can imagine that would just freeze you up instantly. Mm. Just to think of like, oh,
yeah,
all
shock.
That money is mine. It's mine. And then you're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, good way to die, honestly. Just euphoria.
And then you're dead.
I mean, you don't get to enjoy the money, but
I
who actually enjoys money anyway?
That Jackie has a dream. that Ned is talking to him, and he's eating the chicken dinner with him in the boat, and then he's like, I'm in heaven now, it's fine. And he's like, he was trying to tell me something. He wants us to take his winnings. It's really funny.
It was one of my favorite dream sequences, like heaven sequences of any movie. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed it just being all gold and peaceful. They just kind of
shot it out on the ocean in a boat.
And just changed the filter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to overcomplicate things.
You know immediately when he's sitting in the boat with Ned, you're like, oh, this is a dream.
You're like, oh yeah, this isn't real.
But yeah, that was really great.
Done.
So yeah, it's kind of...
But then they find out, and then they have to claim the ticket as their own. So they go out to this phone booth that's out on the outskirts of town, and they call it in.
Yeah.
And they pretend to be Ned.
Mm-hmm.
Except they were not expecting the people from there to come investigate quite so soon.
Yeah, they bring a helicopter.
Which is amazing. They bring a helicopter out as the two old men, for some reason, decide to go skinny dipping. Which, I love that kind of a friendship. That,
yeah.
Like, that's...
Well, they're old.
Yeah, but
I mean... says later in the movie, he's like, Michael's been my friend for many years. We grew old together. So you kind of get the sense that they've been
friends.
They're
besties.
Yeah. It's really sweet. But yeah.
It's a good friendship.
What other hilarity ensues? I definitely wrote down some of my favorite lines.
Well, I mean, I love that coming up right after that is when they figure out the guy comes up on them while they're practically nude,
mm-hmm.
and is asking about Ned and where he lives, and they realize who this is, and he jumps in the car and starts giving him terrible directions. He's like, I've been living here all my life. I know where we're going. So that the other guy...
So that Michael
can jump on
Michael
a motorcycle.
Needs to get on his motorcycle and get over to Ned's house as fast as he can so he can get inside the house and pretend to be Ned by the time the guy comes knocking. But the shot of Michael coming out and, like, taking his towel off and then trying to put on pants but realizing it's going to take too long.
Because he already had boots on, so he couldn't get his pants over them.
He just gets on his motorcycle completely naked, puts his helmet on.
Oh, yeah, safety.
And just drives away. And it was one of the greatest things I've ever
seen. It was so funny. I couldn't stop laughing. And just every shot of him just puttering on that little motorcycle
with
mud splattered up his back.
Ugh.
Oh. And then he had to sneak in and then put clothes on. So he had to put Ned's clothes on and pretend to be him.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like,
it's so good.
It was so ridiculous.
It's really funny.
It's
yeah,
a very funny movie.
I wrote down some things. I like when James Nesbitt's character was talking to Maggie and he was like, I've been using some fruity soaps, Maggie.
Yeah.
It's just really funny. They keep talking about the fruity soaps.
Fruity soaps.
And
you try the raspberry tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, so funny. And then when Michael is telling Jackie, like, hey, we have to, let them know that he died. And he's like, no, we can't let them know, because if they find out that he's dead and we're the ones that found him, they'll accuse us of murder. And he says, murder is a mighty word to be used at this time of night, Jackie.
What a great line.
I love it so much. And then I also love when Michael's in the house pretending to be Ned. And then Jackie's sitting outside in the shed just in his underwear because he gave Michael his clothes to wear.
Yeah.
And his wife comes around the corner and just sees him sitting there naked or in his underwear. And she's like, what sort of a game is this now? It's just so good. There's so many. I think it's the dialogue. The dialogue that everyone says is really, really, really funny and charming.
And it's so fast.
It is very
like
fast.
It's very quick. They jump back and forth. I think it's very well done, and everyone has great chemistry together. Even though this is a movie where it's, like, not really about romance, there's a romantic subplot, like, everyone's chemistry is really selling it. The way that they're all in this together.
The cast is great.
And then they all find out, like, hey, if we're gonna take this money, we all take it together. We all have to agree, every single one of us from the village, or we won't do it.
Yeah, they have to ask the whole town to get in on it. The only person that doesn't sign their little book is the old lady in the scooter.
And they call
really
her the witch.
She's so mean. When that lady comes out with the two loaves of bread and she's like, hey, it's your pick. You get to pick which loaf of bread you want. And she just pokes both of them. She's like poking her fingers
and
into
she's
them.
Like, they're stale.
She goes, stop poking the bread. Yeah, that lady is so mean.
And she threatens to ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
She says, I want 1,000,000.
Yeah, she wants 10%. or something.
Well, she wants a million because she says if she ratted them out, mm-hmm. she would get 10%.
Gotcha.
And so basically they're going to get almost 7 million. So she wants something like 12, 13%.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a large percentage.
That's a large percentage. No
I like
that.
How Annie said, like, how could you live in this town after doing a thing like that? You know, because it's like you can't really screw over your neighbors.
Yeah.
And still I mean, live there.
You'd have to move away.
No one would talk to you.
But then that's also the thing. Like, yeah, in a small town, like, do you move away? Do you stay there? Like, how do you spend this money? Like, what happens after this film is over?
Mm.
I'm curious to see how many of them stay, how many of them, like, start their own communities somewhere else.
True, they can move anywhere.
Your whole lives can be different.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
But
at the end of the day, the town all agrees, except for the witch. She does not agree. And she's gonna go tell on them.
Yeah.
And she drives off. She's gonna drive to London in her little electric scooter.
Well, I thought she was driving to London. I guess she was just driving to the phone.
Yeah, but it made it seem like at first she was driving to London.
It's so weird to see her just going over the hills. Just in the countryside. Her little electric scooter.
Just slowly.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, the scooter dies. And then that was such a funny sight, just her getting out and kicking it yeah. and hitting it with her cane.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you pointed out they kept talking about how the guy who's there to like investigate and get Ned to sign the paperwork is
he has allergies. He keeps sneezing, he has hay fever.
And they were like, how will we know who the man is and who we have to pretend in front of? And he was like, oh, you'll know him by his sneezing. He's always sneezing. And, yeah, sure enough, he sneezes all the time. And then when he comes to, they basically are throwing Ned's funeral.
I thought for sure they were going to get found out. Great tension building.
Yeah.
Where you're like, no, why are you having his funeral right now? Like, the guy is here.
The guy arrives. He walks into the church right as Jackie is about to start talking about Ned and Ned's life. Like, you know, we're here to celebrate Ned's life and death. And as soon as he walks in, the guy just sneezes, and everyone sees, looks. And they know it's him. And then everyone kind of looks at Jackie, and it definitely, there's a moment there where you think that Jackie is about to come clean.
Yeah.
And be like, we're here to
he's in a church.
You know, we're here for the death of Ned Devine.
Yeah.
And it really seems like he's about to, and I kind of thought that would have been a good ending.
I thought it would have been, but it also would have been very disappointing.
But it is cool how he starts saying, we're here to celebrate the life my friend Michael, and then he gives a eulogy for Mike. Yeah, everyone in the church kind of like gives this like, oh my gosh, he's still going along with it, we're still gonna get our money. And then he basically gives a eulogy for Michael, even though Michael is sitting right there.
But then he does bring up like how nice it would be to attend your own eulogy.
Yeah,
to sit in the front row, to hear what other people say, like how you've touched their lives, how much they mean to you. It was really nice, and it's something that I think especially men in America don't ever say to each other. Mm. I think the older you get, the less you care. But I think it was just one of the best little friendships. And he got a chance to tell him how much his friendship meant. And how much doing this crazy thing meant to him in the town.
It's also, this goes back to way earlier in the movie, but I love how after Michael rides the bike naked up to the house, and then Jackie gives him his clothes, and then Jackie realizes, oh my gosh, I left the ticket in the phone booth. And so he has to ride naked to get the whole bag of documents and the ticket, and then ride back naked. And every time it cuts to one of them on the bike going back and forth, there's this aggressive Irish music
yeah.
playing. It's so funny.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I definitely laughed. So, yeah, you want to talk about
the ending?
Yeah.
So she's heading to this phone booth.
The mean lady.
The mean lady, the yeah. witch. Mm-hmm. She's going to tell. Mm-hmm. She's going to call the lottery service and tell them, hey, the people here are committing fraud. Ned is dead. And she's in there and she's dialing. And then the guy driving the car, the man from the lottery, sneezes and swerves off the road, nearly hitting her
mm-hmm.
inside the phone
booth. He almost hits the phone booth.
And then he swerves back, scaring a big passenger van, which clobbers the phone booth, sending it tumbling end over end towards the beach in the ocean, and it hits with a thud on the sand.
The editing during that scene is fantastic, because that's the scene where everyone, the whole town is in the pub celebrating that they've The man has left. The investigation is over. They've done it. They've gotten the check.
Pulled the wool
over
his eyes.
They're all drinking, and there's a guy with a fiddling, and he starts to do something very intricate, and so they're all watching, and they're just like, yeah.
And he breaks a string.
The shot of the telephone booth with the old lady in it.
Just rocketing into the air.
Flying through the air off the cliff.
It's so dark and so funny.
We were screaming. It was so funny.
Howling in laughter.
It was so good. And yeah, that's when the guy's string breaks and they all cheer. And it seems like they're all cheering for her death.
For her death. And I mean, in a way, they are. Because if she hadn't died, they would all go to jail. Every one of them.
I hope they take care of her cats.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
She had a lot of cats.
Those people in that town are very nice. I'm sure they each got a cat.
I like that Jackie tried to buy her off with a package of coconut creams.
He tried. She was like, she did not accept.
No.
He also tried to buy off Maggie. He wanted to give her all of the money. That was the only thing in the movie that I was like, I don't understand what's happening right now.
Did you not hear her?
I know she turned it down.
Her son, I think, was Ned's.
Oh.
She dated Ned.
I didn't put that together. That's weird.
You weren't listening. I think that's what she said. She said something like, he treated me better than anyone. And so, yeah. It was kind of a weird twist to put in there.
Oh, I don't like that. Ned's super old, and she's very not.
Yeah, but a nice man is a nice man.
I guess, but he still would have been like, I don't know.
Very old.
Very old whenever he conceived that child.
I think that's what they said.
This is putting a turn on the ending of this movie for me. I was really loving it. And that, I mean, it does make sense why he would want to give it all to her then.
I think that's what she said.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Man, I gotta pay attention more. I was just, like, in the happiness of it all. Like, the mean old lady was dead. It was a great, great ending. And, oof. Oh, you're saying,
I'm just reading the Wikipedia right now just to make sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Maggie confides that Ned is Morris's real father.
Wow.
Which means Maurice is technically entitled to the entire winnings. But she doesn't want him to have the entire winnings. She wants it to be split amongst the village. But yeah, that's another interesting thing that throws me off is that in the UK, the name that we would pronounce Maurice is Morris.
You know, I don't question it anymore.
It's interesting.
Names change so much. Aluminum, aluminium. I don't get it. Do you want to know a couple pieces of trivia about this?
Yeah.
One, despite this is all set in Ireland, it was shot on the island of Man.
Interesting.
Isle of Man, rather.
I thought I saw that in the credits.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's fascinating.
Well, the Isle of Man is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous, beautiful scenery in this movie. This was written and directed by the same man, Kirk Jones. Hmm. Do you recognize that?
Name sounds familiar.
So he's only written 4 movies and he's directed 6. This was the first movie he directed.
Okay.
He followed this up 7 years later with Nanny McPhee.
Oh!
Then 4 years later, Everybody's Fine. Then 3 years later, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Okay.
Then 4 years later, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a movie in development called Harry's Island.
Oh, interesting.
So, he's got a wide array of movies that he's done.
Wow.
I think this is probably the best of those. Nanny McPhee is also really good,
though. I love Nanny McPhee.
Yeah. I haven't seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, but you were not a big fan, right?
I never saw the second one.
Oh, okay.
I only saw the show that they tried to do.
It might be great.
Interesting. Wow. His first movie was a great one.
Yeah, phenomenal. Really loved this.
I liked it a lot.
Would you recommend this to people?
I absolutely recommend it. I think it's charming. I think the dialogue is fantastic. I think the characters are great and the actors do a great job.
And I think it's very much unlike a lot of American movies. Like, it's a very slow plot.
I think a while for it to really get into it.
And I think in an American movie, we would have basically the first hour of this movie would be in like the first 10 minutes of an American movie. And then the big plot of it would be them trying to hide and sneak around and almost get caught like a dozen times. And then there would be a love plot. And then at the end, like, they would get away with it. And there'd be a big explosion of some sort.
I'm reading now on Wikipedia, Roger Ebert lauded this film as another one of those delightful village comedies that seem to spin out of the British Isles annually. He added Waking Ned Divine can take its place alongside Local Hero, Comfort and Joy, The Snapper, The Van, The Full Monty,
ooh,
The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain, Brassed Off, Eat the Peach, and many others.
Wow, there's several on there I've never heard of before. We're going to have to check those out.
Probably. We've seen The Full Monty. I've seen Local Hero. And The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain. That's a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all about a small village, like, working together to kind of trick somebody from the city. It's really interesting.
Which, it's so funny. Like, especially in America, if you live in a, like, a little small town... Mm-hmm. I think we have seen some movies like that back in the 90s where, like, Tu Wong Fu, Thank You for Everything, Julie Newmar, that's kind of the best example of one of those quaint small towns.
Yeah.
But I feel like nowadays, you usually see those to be like, oh, look, this is like a little rundown redneck town. Like, you don't want to stop here.
Yeah.
So it's nice watching a movie, like a small community that's just doing it on their own.
It's true.
And they don't seem like backwards or mean-spirited people.
They're just...
Like, they just, quaint. Like... Yeah, and they love each other and they work for each other. And that's kind of nice that at the end of the day, they're all in this together.
I think it would be really cool if when we were like 65, we're starting to get into our 70s, we could just like move to a small village in England.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I mean,
I would love to do that.
Let's do it.
I just, you know, like I did my ancestry.com. I just got that back.
Yeah, what did it say?
I am like very... British, but
what percentage?
I don't know. It's a lot, but it's confusing. I don't want to get too into it on the podcast, but my grandma's a liar. It's probably not her fault. My real grandpa bounced on us and walked out of my grandma. It was not great, but he always told her he was Native American. And 0% of that on Ancestry.com.
Yeah, where are you from?
I don't know.
Wales?
I'm a mystery. Yeah, from my dad's side of the family, they're all from Wales, and you can track where the Price family went from Wales to Mississippi. There's a giant, like, Price
like
kind
of... migration?
Yeah, there's a huge portion of the Price family that still lives in Mississippi.
Interesting.
But then my mom's side of the family, who knows? We're from everywhere.
Fascinating.
I don't know why I have this complexion, this skin tone, this, like, I don't grow facial hair, I don't grow arm hair.
And in the summer, you do get very dark.
I get dark quickly. I don't really suntan.
Burn.
Or I don't
summer.
Burn, rather. I only suntan.
Damn. Interesting.
I'm weird.
Well, this was a delightful movie.
Am I from this planet?
No. Yeah.
Do you have a word to trick me with?
I do. This isn't like a normal episode for us, but I do have an Irish word.
All right.
If somebody refers to something as the crack, spelled C-R-A-I-C, what do you think that means?
I've seen this word before. I've read it, and I did not think that was how it was pronounced.
Did you think it was craic?
Craic.
Yeah.
Like a craic.
It's crack.
Okay. All right, I'm trying to think back. You know, I have read it. I've read books, everyone out there. I've read lots of books, plenty
have
of
you?
Them, that have words upon the pages.
Whoa.
I know. And most of them I don't understand, but I keep reading anyway, because I'll figure it out someday. But the crack, I think, means, like, somebody who's got that something in them that they just need to be molded a little bit and they can be, like, real strong. Like, in bricks and in a foundation, you have a little crack and then you can, like, put some concrete, some cement in it and, like, make it strong. You can... Yeah. That's
what?
I think it's, like, if somebody's got the crack, they've got potential. Like, they just need a little molding, a little diamond in the rough.
Interesting.
They just need a little concrete
That's
on them.
That's an interesting theory.
They're a little brick. A craked little brick.
That's pretty cute. Craic. I like that. It's very optimistic.
Crack.
Do you want to know what it really means?
I just told you. All right, tell me. Back.
Crack is a term for news, gossip, fun, entertainment, and enjoyable conversation, particularly prominent in Ireland. It is often used with the Definite, sorry, I've had a lot of Guinness. Often used with the definite article, the crack, as in the expression, what's the crack?
So, like, what's the crack, Jack?
You don't say that, but you
but could I?
Go up to
would
your...
people get mad if I did? If they weren't named Jack?
I can't answer that, because nobody knows. But, I mean, yeah, you
I'm sure Jack knows.
Go up to someone and be like, what's the crack? Like, what's happening? What's happening?
Do you know where it comes from?
No, but I do know on Dairy Girls, they have a big argument where the really studious one, the bangs, she's like, they're like, yeah, well, you're boring. She's like, I'm not, I'm the crack. And they're like, you're not the crack. And she's like, I am the crack. It's really cute. But yeah, that's just a word, and now you know it. And I just found a Guinness, a vintage Guinness.
Ooh, what's poster. The crack?
It's with... the toucan with a Guinness, a pint of Guinness on his beak, and it says, what's the crack?
I love that they have the toucan as part of their, like, mascot.
Why do they have the toucan?
I don't know, but I love it. I'm a big fan of beer companies being like, yeah, we have an animal. Who cares? It's like, for some reason, I'm more comforted by a toucan drinking beer than I am by polar bears drinking Coca-Cola. That I don't like, and I feel like they need to stop. Like, those... Has anybody told the polar bears not to do that?
That they shouldn't drink Coca-Cola?
That they shouldn't drink
Probably
Coca-Cola?
Probably not, because Coke bottles are part of pollution, which leads to global warming, which ruins a polar bear's environment.
Exactly.
Yeah. We That's gotta stop.
We gotta tell them.
We
and
gotta stop Coke.
Coca-Cola is just terrible at plastic.
We gotta
They're,
stop
like, the worst in the world.
We're gonna finish these Guinnesses, and then we're gonna stop them. Oh, speaking of Guinness, when I was a little baby, when I was a toddler, my grandmother had an Irish setter named Guinness.
Aww.
He was probably the first dog I ever knew, and he was beautiful. And then he died.
All right, well.
Happy St. Patrick's Day,
Happy St. Patrick's
everyone.
Day. May it be full of Guinness and death. Not of you, but just, like, watch this movie and think about death of a rich person. This episode took a turn.
It's because we're drinking Guinness. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope that everyone has a great St. Patrick's Day. Feel free to pop on over to our Facebook page or Instagram. You can always email us at anglophilespodcast @gmail.com, files with an F, and give us suggestions of things we should watch or any words that Sheldon should guess. Yeah, that's all. Sláinte.
Keep calm and sláinte.
Did you just burp?
Can you hear it, do you think?
And raise your spirits to the sky. Raise them to Ned Devine. God bless you, Ned. May we be forever in your debt.
To Ned Devine.
Ned?
To Ned.
Fill to me the parting glass and drink.